So our text for this morning's meditation is from our epistle reading, which we heard just a few moments ago, these words: who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's 1 John 5:5, our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we indeed do want to overcome the world, don't we? But what does that mean? What does it mean to overcome the world? Well, I suppose it means that we do not want to allow the world to dictate what happens to us individually. That somehow we free ourselves from the control of the world and all its demands upon us. In other words, we hope that somehow we don't find ourselves overwhelmed by the world like some tsunami, literally drowning under a wave of maxed out credit cards, failed relationships, marital tensions, stalled careers, health issues, and a growing awareness of a general inadequacy. But instead, we find ourselves floating on the sea of life, on a shady flotation device, some floaty thing with one of those umbrella drinks in our hand. I mean, that really does seem to be the goal, doesn't it? Not to be crushed by the gigantic wave of the sea of life, but like a pro surfer of some sort, find ourselves riding the wave, doing so with ease. That's overcoming the world, isn't it? Here, of course, money seems to be the key. If we just have enough money, we can ride out the storms of life. We can avoid drowning under its weight, being crushed by its demands. But that approach, of course, doesn't always work. Didn't work for Boris Becker, did it? Hear about that? German tennis player, remember him? Throughout his career, Boris Becker earned over $50 million. $50 million in prize monies and endorsements, but just this last week, Boris Becker found himself in court in Germany, bankrupt. All that skill and talent, all that money was not enough for Boris to overcome the world. Of course, there are those who overcome the world by simply not being aware of it. Little children, for example, are that way. Bundles of happiness, so often, exploring here and there, enjoying a butterfly they're chasing around the backyard, getting all sorts of thrills from water coming out of a faucet. Kids love that. I don't know why. Completely and totally enjoying a bowl of ice cream. The child who, even as they are fleeing from war, like that in the Ukraine, plays with their doll, or kicks a soccer ball around with whoever they can find, or enjoys a piece of candy. But most people grow out of that blissful lack of awareness, out of that innocence. But what can be done? What can be done? The only way to overcome the world, so it seems, is to face it head on, do battle with it somehow, and win. Lack of awareness will end in disaster. So this is where the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes into play. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead demonstrates, if anything, that he and he alone in the history of the world has indeed overcome the world. And Christ has overcome the world by defeating that which is the end of the world as we know it, and that is death. I mean, why is it? Why is it we struggle to ride the wave of the world if not to avoid death? To live and to live well? Why is it that we remember our childhood fondly, if not to recall a time when we weren't worried about death? Well, here is Jesus Christ, the man God raised from the dead. As the Apostle Paul told those scholars in Athens, and Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead does in fact mean something significant, and that is in his resurrection from death, Christ presents to mankind, he presents to you, he presents to me, the key to life. The key to life. For what really are our struggles from day to day? Against what are we fighting, really? For our fight, you know, it's not with credit card companies, or our spouses, or family members, or friends, or co-workers, or our own decision-making skills, or weak self-concept. Our fight daily is not against flesh and blood. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, our fight is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, here, what is meant is not worldly government and powers, but what ultimately is behind the evils that are perpetrated within the world by any authorities and powers, and in even any one individual person. And that is ultimately, who's in charge of all of that evil? Well, it's the devil. Here the reference is to the prince of this world, as Christ calls him in John 16, the prince of this world who in Christ is judged and condemned, or also the god of this world, which we read about in 2 Corinthians 4, also a reference to the devil. The god of this world we read about there who has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Or to put it another way, we can describe our situation as the Apostle John does in his first epistle, where he notes that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Whole world. Now, here I suppose a bit of irony should be noted. Irony is to be found in society, even among Christians. What is irony? Well, irony is an incongruity between what might be expected and what actually occurs. Irony is an incongruity between what might be expected and what actually occurs. And we must say it is ironic nowadays that so many conspiracy theories have taken root and been propagated, most obviously by social media platforms on the internet, throwing millions of people into fear and trepidation, even Christians. Even Christians. Now, what is ironic is that even Christians have become fully enveloped in such things as if they were something new. Something unheard of. Something that has only recently been discovered. And that is that there are people, groups of people, individuals plotting to do this or that, nefarious things. Well, according to the Holy Word of God, of course there are. Of course there are. According to the Bible, there are not just conspiracy theories. There are actual conspiracies, real conspiracies, groups of people plotting to do evil things. And of course, along with conspiracies, there are also speculations about those conspiracies. That is, theories about those conspiracies. Why? Why the conspiracies? Why the theories? The answer is simply, really, the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, or in other words, the prince of this world and the god of this world, all of which can be summed up with the term the devil, the father of lies, who is by nature a liar. What's the devil trying to do with such conspiracies and theories of such conspiracies, but the same thing, only a larger scale, that he tries to do daily in our hearts and minds? And that is to convince us by means of a series of half-truths and sort of truths and wish-they-were-true type statements that if we don't listen to and believe that the world is how he says it is and that the remedies he suggests are the only remedies available, we will be overcome, overwhelmed, and destroyed. Did God say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden," are the first words that Satan spoke to mankind, to Eve? And they were followed after Eve's response, Eve telling Satan what God had said by, "You shall not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." There's a tremendous amount of deviousness going on there. But the point this morning is simply that it is going on. And it has always gone on. And that is lies and deceptions, false assertions and half-truths. And as Christians, we know this. We know this. We should know this. That is our context within the world. For what do we hear each day? What do we read each day? What do we see each day? But an absence of the truth in almost everything that we encounter. That's why the solution is not to cower in fear or live in trepidation or spend all of our waking hours trying somehow to set everything straight, because we simply do not have the strength or the time or the capacity to do so. Instead, embracing Christ, Jesus, our Lord, the truth in faith, as our Savior from this world. Our Savior from this world. Not only by means of the forgiveness of sins, which is ours through faith in Him, so by means of our resurrection and ascension into heaven in the future to be with Christ, but our Savior from this world in the here and now. As we know the truth that Christ has overcome the devil in his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and so now all those who know Christ through faith, who daily live in the forgiveness of Christ, have come to know the truth, and that truth has set them free. So our baptismal remembrance this morning, among other things, Jonathan, by being baptized into the crucified and resurrected Christ, has been baptized into the truth. So he has been set free. Free from what? From a world full of lies. So our consciences can be at peace. And our need to refute and rebut and establish the truth less urgent. So being with Christ, believing in Christ as our Savior from this world, our Savior from sin, our Savior from death, is like being on a winning team. A team that has won an athletic contest, and handedly so, only to have the losers and their fans blast away on social media, "But we are better. You cheated. You bought off the refs. It was just luck." And on and on and on, trying to get us to believe that we had not won, but really had lost. I cannot but think here of two guys I knew in high school, Joe Skirtland and Alan Reutsch, who had a bet every year on the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. Joe was for Nebraska, Alan for Oklahoma. Whoever lost the game would have to wear the other's t-shirt to school the next day, on Monday, right? Well, my freshman year, Nebraska lost. And so Joe should have shown up to school wearing an Oklahoma Sooner t-shirt. Instead, Alan showed up wearing a Nebraska shirt. Why? Well, Joe, the smooth talker that he was, had convinced Alan that the result of the game had been overturned and Nebraska declared the victor. True story. This was before the internet. It took Alan about 2 class periods before he figured it out. He figured out the lie, and he ripped off his shirt, and he went looking for Joe. But that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to do to us constantly, and that is to convince us that Christ did not conquer through his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, but he, the devil, had. But that's this world. It'll always be this world until Christ returns. So who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.